Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Beltway Blitz time here on The Fan. Spin you around the DMV. What's going on in the world of sport? We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condor and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We are Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. Linnell in for GP. Let's get you started, please. On the diamond. Our guy that wears all the hats, including the hat of Bustin' Loose Baseball, one of the preeminent podcasts talking about Nationals baseball, our guy Toby Altizer. Toblerone, Miguel Cairo got a win last night. Yay!
It was good to see you, Danny. And the thing that I liked is some excitement from the ball club, wearing the Uncle Slam hat, stuff like that. I don't know where that had gone, but it seemed like there was some exuberance from the guys again. Mackenzie Gore got some run support for the first time, it feels like, all year. So it was a good win for the guys.
Toby, Michael Soroka on the bump tonight for DC. The last couple of starts for him have been eh. Is he or any of the other veterans on this team, you think, do they have any value coming up in the trade deadline in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think Finnegan will. I mean, when you look at a reliever who's been, I would say, reasonably reliable, and I mean, maybe the underlying metrics aren't as good, but overall, you look at his numbers, you would take that from a closer. So I would say that Kyle Finnegan would have some value. I'd be interested in Soroka's value because, you know, it seemed like the Dodgers say they could use some starters because of all the injuries that they've had in the rotation. But Soroka's also been pretty effective in his time out of the pen. So could you maybe end up trading for him if you're L.A. and then moving him to the pen when you get some of the guys back, like they got Glasnow back? I think it'd be interesting to see. I would think Amed Rosario has some value as well. He can absolutely demolish lefties, can play multiple defensive positions. So I think those three specifically. I think the interesting part here is now with Mike Rizzo, no longer the general manager of the team, he's the one that pulled the trigger on the Nathaniel Lowe trade. And the numbers guys at Nationals Park haven't always been as big on Nathaniel Lowe, DeBartolo being one of those numbers guys. Do they consider trading him with a year left of control next year? So I think those are the four guys to watch out for.
It was Miguel Cairo's first win. I know a lot of people feel like changing the manager isn't going to, you know, provide any immediate changes or differences. If there was a move to the lineup to be made, what would it be, and do you foresee something happening there?
I don't see anything crazy happening, Linnell. I mean, look, Cairo's with a left-hand or right-hand guy of Davey, and I don't think he's going to suddenly come in here and make swooping changes. If there was anything that I would change, and I don't know that I'd do it right away, but I'd see how it continues to play out over the next couple of weeks, is maybe you lead Wood off so that he has some protection in the lineup, because the only guy that I think would be reasonably intimidating to a lineup would be our opposing pitcher would be C.J. Abrams. So do you consider flipping those two and just seeing if you can give Wood some protection that way, so that way when you're facing some better ball clubs in the second half that have things to play for, it's not just throw up the four fingers every time James Wood walks to the plate.
Tobes, mentioned Mackenzie Gore here. Last night, good to see seven punchies as he threw six innings of one-run ball. The strikeout numbers, even though he hadn't been getting hit around a ton, I mean, there was a crooked number against the Dodgers and kind of that grinded start against Detroit where he only struck out two guys. But the strikeout numbers were kind of dipping there if you look at some of the June totals and then kind of the start of July. So that was good to see. What'd you notice different in terms of him being able to close some guys out?
Yeah, I mean, just having nice command, right, and being able to effectively throw each pitch for a strike and being able to get some of that swing and miss. For whatever reason, that hadn't been the case over the last month or so of starts. So it was nice to see him be able to get some of that swing and miss. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm really not worried about the strikeout totals anymore. I mean, it was going to be nice to see if he could stay up at the top of the leaderboard, and he's still in the top five in strikeouts. He's going to stay up there for the rest of the year, just or at least the majority of the year, and in the top 10 or whatnot, just because of the fact that he struck out so many to start the year. But I'll be curious to see if he continues that trend of not striking out as many guys. But Danny, he could strike out nobody. If he's going six innings of one-run ball for the rest of the year, I really don't care what the strikeout totals are. And I think you'll see him get back to more dominance of what we saw earlier in the year. But, yeah, it was good to see some of those swing and misses start to pile back up like we saw earlier in the year last night.
Toby, thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it. There he goes. He wanted to say you're welcome. Toby just punted. He's on the radio. He usually knows how that works. I appreciate it, Toby. Let's hit the NFL sounder, please. Our guy Nate Davis joins us from USA Today to weigh in on all matters of the foosball. Nate, I want to start with this NFL, NFLPA, some disgruntlement up at the top, some disagreement, the collusion. What do you make of this thing? What's going on? How significant is it?
Yeah, I mean, Dan, this seems like this could be a little bit wild. There's some stuff out there, but you know, we'll see what happens with Mr. Lloyd Howell in the coming days and weeks, but you know, the conflict of interest thing, obviously, with players, isn't going to go over very, very well if they find there's more there. You know, the firm he's the consulting for says he didn't have any kind of proprietary information that he wouldn't have. You know, you and I wouldn't have, but still, bad look for him.
Nate, Kurt, the Netflix documentary Quarterback has come out, and Kirk Cousins is highlighted in it, and he, you know, made his first public comments about kind of being, you know, misled by the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. last year. Is Atlanta really going to go through this entire offseason and enter the regular season with him on the roster, or do you see a trade coming at some point here?
I mean, I don't see a trade coming unless there's a dance. I mean, obviously there has to be a dance partner, but you know, I don't know where that job is right now. So, I mean, I think Kirk is, you know, he's not hoping anybody gets hurt, but I think that's probably the scenario that you need to grease the wheels on this, because I mean, the Falcons have already paid him $100 million guaranteed. There's no incentive for them just to release him or to trade him and eat the money. So, I mean, and I think a team that wants to get him, is either going to have to offer a nice draft pick or they're going to have to be willing to eat a lot of that money. So I think this is one where the Falcons really hold all the leverage, and certainly the circumstances don't warrant a move right now. So I think Kirk is kind of stuck being the backup for this season at least, barring unforeseen circumstances, basically.
What kind of year is J.J. McCarthy going to have in Minnesota?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, obviously – missed last year. I mean, I watched the preseason game last year with the Raiders, Danny, and he looked really good for whatever that's worth, but, you know, hasn't played a meaningful game in close to 2 years. But, you know, I mean, he's effectively a rookie, and they basically put everything around him. So, you know, for all the talk we had about Caleb Williams last year, I mean, J.J. McCarthy is stepping into a situation where he really isn't lacking for anything in the supporting cast. So I don't know how much that they actually have to ask him to do, which is kind of the same scenario he had at Michigan. You know, he's got to do it under the lights, obviously, in real games. But, you know, I think the support system is there. And I think that maybe, you know, the Vikings who, I mean, personally, I didn't think they were going to have that great a year last year. I don't know that they're going to win 14 games again, but I think that they could be a playoff team if he can manage situations.
Something that happens pretty routinely in the NFL, Nate, is teams going worst to first. My candidate for that, a lot of people look at San Francisco and go, yeah, that's going to be the team. What about the New England Patriots? They had a strong offseason. I'm a big Mike Vrabel guy. Drake May showed a lot of flashes in year number one. What type of shot do you give the Patriots in a loaded AFC?
Not much. I mean, I think okay. They'll be better. But I mean, the way you framed it is the worst to first thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I could maybe buy the Patriots being a wild card team. But, I mean, I think they're – unless Josh Allen gets hurt, I don't see them overtaking the Bills or something going disastrously wrong in Buffalo. I mean, frankly, I think the AFC East of any division probably has the biggest gap between, you know, the presumed favorite and the next best team. So, I mean, I like what New England's done, you know, and I think Mike Vrabel's a great coach. So, I think that, you know, certainly a great shot. They could double their win total to 8 at least, but I don't see them getting up there to the top of the division this year.
Nate, expectations are a funny thing. We look at a 10-7 Houston team, and if you told the 2021 Houston Texans fans, you'll have two straight years of being 10-7 after they went 4-12, 4-13, 3-13, 313-1, they'd probably be doing spin kicks. But because of how good 2023 was, that 24, weirdly, where they won a playoff game, won the division, was looked at as like a bit of a mild disappointment. What are your thoughts on them this year coming in as potential repeat champions in that division?
I'm probably that they'll stay about the same. I mean, you know, I think a significant part of their success, and give them credit, Danny, like you said, they turned it around really quickly coming off the years of the Sean Watson debacle, but they're obviously not playing in the strongest division. So that helps, and certainly helped last year. And I think when you have to, you know, fire your left tackle who's here now and fire your offensive coordinator and a lot of the other things that happened, that kind of tells you how they felt about what occurred last year. So, you know, T.J. Stroud's got to get comfortable in the new offense. There's some new receivers there as well. So, I think there's reason for optimism that it'll feel better than last year. I kind of think it'll probably still be around the same win total. I don't know that they're really ready to break through and compete for a Super Bowl. And I also think it's a bit of a cautionary tale for people here in Washington. Yeah. I mean, like you said, nobody expected much out of the Texans in 2023. Then they made this seismic jump. Obviously, the expectations are going to be huge around the Commanders this year. It's understandable, but I think that they – you know, made a huge leap last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they come back down to maybe the 10 or 11 win level this year and doesn't feel quite as good, even though big picture, it really ought to be.
Nate, thank you as always, buddy. Really
Thanks,
appreciate
Nate.
It.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, dude. Hit that Local 53 sounder, please. All right, Kevin Sheehan joining us here for his portion of the Blitz. Kevin, I haven't heard your reaction. Apologies, I've missed it. But your thoughts on the... I guess we're calling them the alternate, even though they're wearing them almost 40% of the games next year at home. And eventually it looks like it's going to be the jersey from a time when you and I were younger and they were really good.
I mean, I think it's great. When I saw them, I just smiled. And that's, you know, that's the championship uniform. It's going to look like our team when it plays in that uniform. You know, just three games this year, and then they're going to wear the black alts for another game. I would guess that it's the Chicago game on Monday night. But I think this is step one towards these becoming permanent. And, you know, it's not the whole, you know, enchilada. I mean, it's not the name. It's not the logo yet. I don't think the logo's dead, Danny. But, I think they got it right. I think they nailed it yesterday.
Kevin, a big question mark that, you know, fans and media members have for this Commanders team entering the offseason is how do they get better at stopping the run? I want to look at the secondary, though, here for a second. Quan Martin has been, you know, praised by this coaching.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Staff all off season for good reason. What about the safety position opposite Quan Martin, Kevin? I know they brought in Will Harris from New Orleans. Do you expect him to be the guy, or is there a dark horse there that you think could potentially unseat him?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, a couple of things. Number one, they brought in Will Harris to be the Chin replacement. So let's hope he's every bit of what Chin was last year, if not more, and it's half the cost. But I think it's going to be really interesting, just the DBs in general, because they're going to be a nickel a lot. That's almost everybody's base now. And, you know, a lot of what they put out there is going to be dependent on what, you know, starting at corner Marshon Lattimore looks like. You know, and can they get to a position where Trey Amos is ready and Sanra still can, you know, move inside? But I would think that the safeties are Martin and Harris to start with. But will we see Percy Butler in the game? Will we see, you know, 40? What was his name? Owens?
Tyler Owens,
in the
yeah.
game? You know, it's creativity defensively, and they're going to have to be really creative and a lot better up front to start with, because stopping the run was a major problem. And they overcame it last year for the most part, but it's tough to do in the NFL over 17 weeks.
How? Just give me your level of concern, temperature check here on the Terry McLaurin contract situation, Kevin.
No concern. None. I mean, you and Grant and I have talked about this recently.
Yep.
I even if he were a holdout, by the way, it's 50K every day he misses, so I guess he would be a hold in if it comes to that, where he would report but not, you know, participate in activities. But worst case out of all of this is he plays on the last year of his deal. He's certainly not going to hold out at, you know, entering his age 30 season. He's going to play. But I think they'll get it done. And I think, you know, it was going to be tricky going into it because of his age, because of where do you really kind of slot him among the, you know, more recent deals. You know, is the DK Metcalf deal a deal that he'd love to get, but it seems a little bit out of whack for Washington because maybe Pittsburgh overpaid? They'll come to an agreement. I think so. We should check in with each other once camp starts on the 22nd and the veterans have to be there. But even if it starts with a little bit of a delay, you know, I went back and looked at this. Kittle, Bosa, and Ayuk.
Yeah.
Those deals were all done on August 29th, August 30th, and September 4th. So there's this history in San Francisco, where Adam Peters came from, of waiting it out. And maybe they thought they benefited from waiting it out. So maybe this is just style more than true confrontation.
Either or, it's a mess. Why can't they just get it done, Kevin? I want my wide receiver in camp. I want him getting reps with my quarterback. The other thing for me is this. If it does go down the contentious road and it gets messy and there's a potential of him not being here, how confident are you in the group behind him?
Well, he's going to play, Linnell. They're not trading him. He's not going to hold out, you know, and then have to go through the whole process again next summer. He's under contract. He's got a year left. That's the worst case, is he plays on the last year of his deal, and then they'll figure out what to do in the offseason next year, whether to use the franchise tag or come up with a long-term deal. So I'm not worried about what's behind him. He's going to play in 2025. I just, like you and I think everybody else, would prefer it to be, you know, with the tone of everybody's thrilled with each other. He got the deal he wanted. The team feels, you know, good about the deal they gave him.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy.
Talk Thanks, Jeff.
All right, boys.
There he goes. And that, right there, that is how you butt Wiblets. Three different teams, three interviews. We're going snappy, a couple different questions, guests. We're getting caught up. We're getting you all caught up. That's how we do the old Beltway Blitz. I want to get back to this. We started this about an hour ago, and I want to go a little bit more into it. The team, talking about the Local 53, is trying to exert some pressure on the D.C. City Council. The latest, an article from Axios, the local team, has kind of ramped up their efforts starting this past Tuesday to kind of escalate the rhetoric, right? We know about the July 15th deadline. That's not necessarily something that the council is going to respect, understandable, right? Because that's like 5 days from now. I get it, okay? Well, now they're saying if you don't hurry up, it's not just the Women's World Cup anymore. This could be a very different situation where you no longer control this process at all. Mm. We'll explain that, and do you buy it? Is this negotiating or maybe something that's very real? We'll talk about that next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.